And let's see, last week we started a study of 1 Kings, and we'll continue working with today. And the as we commented last time, 1 Kings, of course, is a continuation of the story that that went through 2 Samuel. So particularly in the early chapters of 1 Kings, there's lots of references that can be made back to events and individuals in 2 Kings, and we try to highlight on some of those. We'll continue to do that today. Let's see, to recap what we studied last week, in 1 Kings chapter 1 is near the end of David's reign, and a successor for King David is being established. Now, from a strictly lineage type standpoint, Adoniah was next in line. The first two children of male children of David had been killed. There was a third that gets mentioned as a birth, but never any mention after that. So we've gone through Absalom and now Adoniah was thinking he was next in line for power, but the Lord had chosen somebody else. The Lord had directed to David that his descendant would be Solomon. And in chapter 1, we learned how Solomon's threat from Adoniah was taken care of. And at the end of chapter 1, Adoniah is kind of set aside. He's not dispensed with. He's not killed, as you might suspect, somebody who was a threat to the kingdom there. But he's kind of set aside. So that takes us into chapter 2. And in the first few verses of chapter 2, we learn this is David's charge to Solomon as he's taking over the kingdom. And then the rest of few verses after that, David imparts some wisdom to Solomon. There's three folks that, let's see, I guess it's actually two. David warns of Job and Shimei, and we'll look at those. And then later in the chapter, Solomon begins his purge of these people that would be a threat to his reign or to his rule. So that's kind of a quick overview of chapter 2. But let's begin reading chapter 2, verse 1. And this again is David speaking to Solomon, giving him words of advice, so to speak, near the end of David's life. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Then the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Take verse 3 there would be a good life verse for all of us. A lot of wisdom and advice in that. Verse 4, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons will heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, and with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Moreover, okay, I guess that's kind of his advice to him is, you know, live faithfully before the Lord. Now, beginning in verse 5, he starts to give him some advice, give Solomon some advice on some of these people that have been in David's reign that he needs to be particularly mindful of. And the first one he speaks of is Joab. So we'll read verse 5 and 6 and then some comments on them. Moreover, you know also that Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner, the son of Ner, and Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime and put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and was on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore, do according to your wisdom and do not let this gray hair go down to the grave in peace. So in verse 6, you can see that David's advice to Solomon is to do away with Joab. Now, Joab had been a faithful leader, a military leader in David's time, but he'd committed a couple atrocities, and they're mentioned there. He shed innocent blood. He killed these two men during times of peace, and we won't go back and look at read all the scriptures, but the first one he's mentioned is Abner. And Abner, and someone, if I don't get this exactly right, somebody can speak up. But Abner goes way back to the time when Saul and David were in contention with each, or mainly Saul in contention with David for the leadership. And Abner was a leader of the opposition with Saul. There came to be a battle between Abner's men and David's men. Joab was, of course, a party David's men. And Joab's brother was actually killed by Abner. Joab wasn't able to do anything about it at the time. He held this grudge against Abner forever. Ultimately, Abner became allied with David, and was part of his faithful soldiers. There came a time where Joab had an opportunity. An opportunity was presented to him to do away with Abner, and he took advantage of it. And maybe we will look at that real quickly. Turn back to 2 Samuel. It's actually pretty early in the book, chapter 3, 2 Samuel chapter 3. And for connection, let me read verse 21, and this again, remember I said that Abner was loyal to Saul, but Abner is now coming over to his loyalty is now to David. Verse 21, chapter 3 of 2 Samuel. Then Abner said to David, "I will arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, and that you may reign over all that your heart desires." So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So through that, Abner and his army were in peace with David. Now, verse 22. At that moment, the servants of David and Joab came from a rapid raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the troops that were with him had come, they told Joab, saying, "Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he has gone in peace." Then Joab came to the king and said, "What have you done? Look, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away, and he has already gone?" So Joab is questioning what David had done with regard to Abner. Verse 25, "Surely you realize that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you, to know you're going out and you're coming in, and to know all that you are doing." And when Joab had gone from David's presence, he sent messengers after Abner, who brought him back from the well of Sirah, but David did not know it. Now when Abner had returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him privately, and there stabbed him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. So Joab is a very ruthless, vengeful guy in this instance here. Abner has made peace with David. David is satisfied with that peace, but Joab has his grudge against him that goes back to when Abner killed his brother. So here's the first instance where an innocent life is taken by Joab. Now the second one is much later on, and it deals with Amasa. And in, let's see, turn back to 2 Samuel. Well, maybe we won't read all this. But kind of basically the story with Amasa is Amasa was loyal. Let me get my reference here. Amasa was one of the loyal chiefs of Absalom's army. And after the defeat of Absalom, David named Amasa as one of the general of the army. Now, the speculation there is that David did that to try to join together these two armies, you know, to take away the animosity or whatever that Absalom's followers would have towards David. So Amasa was made one of the heads of David's army. Now, Joab wasn't pleased with that. Maybe you can appreciate Joab's point of view. He probably thought that he was next in line to be the commander of David's army, but this Amasa was named, King David named Amasa as the leader of the army. And Joab does a similar thing to Amasa here. I'm just looking what we should read. Let's see. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 20. And let's see. We'll begin in verse 7, I guess. 2 Samuel 20, verse 7. So Joab's men with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men went out after him, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Berchi. When they were at the large stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor, and on it was a belt with a sword fastened in his sheath at his hips. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. So this, we see this scene there where Joab and Amasa are meeting kind of on the battlefield there. But from Joab's actions there, you know, he's reaching out, he took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. So, you know, Amasa probably suspects nothing's bad here. But then read verse 10. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. So here's a second leader that David has named, that Joab has taken care of by by pretty grisly means. So Joab's kind of not a nice guy, very vengeful, and has taken matters into his own hands. And then the final problem with Joab, he was faithful to David in the matter of Absalom, but in Adonijah, he had gone over to that side. So he was had shown his true colors in the end there, that he was not a friend of David's. So anyhow, that's the first person that David warns Solomon about. The second person he warns him about is, read down in verse 8, "And see, you have with you Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Beerim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day I went to Machanan. But he came down to meet me at Jordan. I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword." This Shimei was one who was loyal to Saul. And when David was fleeing from Saul, Shimei came out and cursed him. And rather than David at the time just doing away with him, he let him be, so to speak. Turns out to be maybe not the best decision David ever made, but this is another one that David warns Solomon about. The other interesting name that's mentioned here, the interesting situation, is back up in verse 7. "But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be among those who eat at your table. For so they came to me when I fled from Absalom, your brother." So if you remember back in 2 Kings, when David's army was fleeing, his men were hungry. They were in a pretty desperate situation. And this Barzillai showed up and provided food for David and his men. So David remembers him to Solomon and recommends that he remember Barzillai's sons also. So those are kind of the two warnings and the one commendation there that David makes towards the end of his life. And verse 10, "So David rested with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David." Now, so that's the end of David. Solomon has been named the new king. Now, in verse 13, Adonijah shows up again, and he's got a scheme about him this time. So let's read about Adonijah and his scheming here. "Now Adonijah, the son of," and we're in verse 13, 1 Kings chapter 2. "Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, and she said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably." You can understand that she's probably a little concerned. Here's Adonijah showing up, you know, and she's asking him, "Do you come in peace?" And he says, "Yes, he does." 14, "Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you." And she said, "Say it." Then he said, "You know that the kingdom was mine." This is an interesting verse, and this is kind of the way Adonijah viewed it. This is from his standpoint. Verse 15, "Then he said, you know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord." And it's interesting there that he acknowledges this was the Lord's hand in doing that. Whether he believed that or not, you know, I guess he's touting the company line at this point. Verse 16, "Now I ask one petition of you, do not deny me." And she said to him, "Say it." Then he said, "Please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as wife." Now, Abishag, you remember, we saw her in the first few verses of chapter 1, and she was the one who... David, near his time of death, that she was the one that came to comfort him. And she became, in effect, his wife, although the marriage was never consummated. He had no relations with her, but in a legal standpoint, she would have been considered his wife. So we're back to the story in verse 18. So Bathsheba said, "Very well, I will speak for you to the king." Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, "I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me." And the king said to her, "Ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you." So she said, "Let Abishag, the Shunammite, be given to Adonijah, your brother, as wife." So she's passing on the request that Adonijah had made to her. Verse 22, "And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, 'Now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also? For he is my older brother, for him and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah.' Then King Solomon swore to the Lord, saying, 'May God do to me and more also if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life.'" So Adonijah's point here, or his scheme here, is if he can be given David's wife, that would give him a legitimate claim to the throne. So he's trying to work his way around the situation that he's in and usurp, so to speak, the kingship. Bathsheba didn't see it, but Solomon sees through it right away, and he says what he's going to do here. Now in verse 24, "Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who has made me a house, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down, and he died." So King Solomon declares that this is enough. I've had enough of Adonijah. We're going to send my man out here, Benaiah. And it's interesting. Georgian was reminding me after the last lesson that this Benaiah was the son of the priest, you know, but he seemed to have a penchant for violence, as we'll see. He was he ended up being Solomon's lead henchman, so to speak. And I guess we shouldn't look at him in a negative sense, but he seemed to carry about what Solomon told him with some efficiency. And so anyhow, we will see his name again. We'll put it that way. So this is Adonijah that is taken care of. And then in verse 20, then Solomon deals with another one, Abiathar. And Abiathar was the priest under David. Now, Abiathar, if you look back at his history, you will remember the purge that that Saul did of the priest, and Abiathar was the only one who survived the purging of the priest, he was loyal to David, and he became David's lifelong friend, and Abiathar was loyal to David over Absalom, but he turned in the end towards Adonijah. So here is what Solomon is going to do to Abiathar. In verse 26, "And to Abiathar the priest, the king said, 'Go to Anathoth, to your own fields, for you are worthy of death. But I will not put you to death at this time, because you carried the ark of the Lord God before my father David, and because you were afflicted every time my father was afflicted.' So Solomon removed Abiathar from being priest to the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord, which he spoke concerning the house of Eli at Shiloh. So Abiathar is removed from his position as priest. He's given some deference because he was loyal to David in many things. So Solomon does not have him put to death. Now in verse 28, we see what becomes of Joab, verse 28. Then news came to Joab, for Joab had defected to Adonijah, though he had not defected to Absalom, as we talked about. He had been faithful through Absalom, but not through the last attempt. So Joab fled to the tabernacle of the Lord and took hold of the horns of the altar. And King Solomon was told, Joab has fled to the tabernacle of the Lord. There he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Joiadiah, saying, go strike him down. So there he sends his main guy again. So Benaiah went to the tabernacle of the Lord and said to him, thus says the king, come out. And he said, no, but I will die here. A prophetic statement on Joab's part. And Benaiah brought word back to the king, saying, thus said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said to him, do as he has said, and strike him down and bury him, that you may take away from me and from my house of my father the innocent blood which Joab shed. So the Lord will return his blood on his head, because he struck down two men more righteous and better than he, and killed them with the sword. Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of the army of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, the commander of the army of Judah, though my father did not know it. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his descendants forever, but upon David and his descendants, upon his house and his throne, there shall be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah, the son of Jedidiah, went up and struck and killed him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Then, verse 35, the king put Benaiah, the son of Joiadiah, in his place over the army, and the king put Zadok, the priest, in the place of Abiathar. So there's two promotions, so to speak, here in that verse. Benaiah is now the leader of the army in Joab's place, and Zadok is now the new priest, has taken the place of Abiathar. And in just a couple minutes, we'll cover what happens to Shimei. He was the one that was spared. He was the one that cursed David. He was spared. We won't read the verses here, but Solomon had kind of put him under, I guess, house arrest, if you will, in Jerusalem. He wasn't to leave the city. He left the city to go after some slaves that had escaped. He came back and he was challenged. And I guess we'll begin reading in verse 43. This is after Shimei comes back from retrieving these slaves. Verse 43, why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I give you? The king said moreover to Shimei, you know, as your heart acknowledges, all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore, the Lord will return your wickedness upon your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded, you know who, Benaiah, the son of Joiadiah, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. So, you know, we see in these two chapters that there there was some unfinished business that needed to be taken care of. Those that were not loyal to King David were still, some of them were still around, and a potential threat to the new king's reign. So they are taken care of in chapter 2. So the next time we'll begin looking at Solomon's reign, now that these other problems have been been dealt with. So that's all we have for this morning, and we'll turn our time back to a hymn or two, and then Brother Mike will bring a message to us. Thank you.